Thanks for listening to WBUR, made possible with support from Wistia and ZipRecruiter, presenting Endless Thread, the new podcast that brings Reddit, the front page of the internet, to your earbuds. Available wherever you get podcasts.
Pennsylvania legislators have 3 weeks to redraw the state's congressional map. After a 5-2 decision at the Pennsylvania Supreme Court on Monday, the court ruled that the 2011 electoral map was based on Republican partisan gerrymandering that violated the state's constitution. It's just one of many gerrymandering cases around the U.S. with litigation pending in 8 states. Michael Lee is senior counsel for the Brennan Center's Democracy Program, which focuses on redistricting and other voting issues. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And first, a little gerrymandering 101. We're talking about when legislators redraw the electoral maps to give political advantage over another party or racial group. And partisan gerrymandering cases are especially noteworthy because the courts previously haven't taken a stand on that.
That's right. Up until now, the courts have not clearly put partisan gerrymandering out of bounds in the way that they have put racial gerrymandering or discriminating on the basis of race out of bounds. And that's led lawmakers in a lot of states to think that they can get away with whatever they want when it comes to redistricting as long as they can put a political label on it. And that's led to anomalies like in the South this decade where lawmakers have insisted that they weren't discriminating against African Americans or Latinos. They were just discriminating against Democrats. And lo and behold, they happened to be African American or Latino. But the court could finally put some bounds on what you can get away with in terms of politics as well as race.
So the courts haven't taken a stand on this, but partisan gerrymandering has been going on for a long time, right?
It has. It goes back really to the beginnings of the country. Patrick Henry famously tried to draw Virginia's very first congressional map so that James Madison couldn't win a seat. He was unsuccessful, but the practice has been around a long time. But it's getting worse because data and technology are enabling lawmakers to draw maps ever more perniciously and to lock in an advantage.
All right. Well, let's talk about a few of the cases that are out there, starting with Pennsylvania. This case is League of Women Voters of Pennsylvania versus Pennsylvania General Assembly. What's this one all about?
Well, this is a challenge to Virginia or Pennsylvania's 2011 map, which is one of the worst of the decade. And it's unique in the sense that it was brought in state court. Most partisan gerrymandering claims up until now have been brought in federal court. This one was brought in state court. And just yesterday, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court struck down the map and ordered it to be redrawn. It's a map that currently gives Republicans 13 safe seats out of the 18 that Pennsylvania has. The map will be redrawn sometime by the end of February and be used in the 2018 elections. And so that's very significant. It's also significant because it's the first time a state court has struck down a map on the basis of excessive partisanship.
And the U.S. Supreme Court is considering 2 cases this year, the first major challenge to partisan gerrymandering in about 14 years. The states are Wisconsin and Maryland. Tell us about these cases.
So they're slightly different in terms of their legal theories, but they both challenge extreme gerrymanders where one party, in the case of Wisconsin, Republicans, in the case of Maryland, Democrats, try to draw maps to lock in an advantage and gain extra seats they wouldn't be entitled to if the maps were drawn using more neutral criteria. The Wisconsin case was argued back in October. The Maryland case will be argued at the end of March. Both cases either together or individually give the court a chance to say something on partisan gerrymandering, and it's a very different court than the court that considered it last time. But the last time the court deadlocked really badly on it, split 4-4-1 with Justice Kennedy in the middle. This time the court might has a chance to look at the issue anew and perhaps finally signal that there are some limits on how far you can go.
Now, experts say that Justice Kennedy and Chief Justice Roberts are likely to be the ones who decide, what happens in these cases. What aspects of the arguments will they be focusing on?
Well, we don't have a lot of guidance on what the court is thinking. And so people are approaching the case very differently. But Justice Kennedy has an interest in the First Amendment and the idea that the gerrymandering inhibits your ability to freely associate with others of your political persuasion, maybe the avenue to go. Other people have relied on the Equal Protection Clause. Chief Justice Roberts has expressed a concern about making sure that any standard is clearly understandable to your average person so it doesn't look like the court is just playing politics or making things up out of thin air. But the argument in October in the Wisconsin case was very interesting. I expect the argument in March in the Maryland case to be also very interesting.
And whatever the ruling from the Supreme Court, the maps in Wisconsin and Maryland will not change before the 2018 election, right?
That's right. The decisions will come down too late for any changes in Wisconsin. In the Maryland case, even if they win, it still has to go back down to the district court and the case has to be tried. So there won't be any changes for 2018, but there could be for 2020. But more importantly, this could be a really important signal of some limits ahead of the next round of redistricting in 2021 when, you know, it's a brand new field.
So those are the cases going to the Supreme Court, but there are others that we haven't even talked about yet, including in North Carolina. Tell us what's going on there. You've said this is one of the most blatant partisan gerrymandering efforts in the country.
Just recently, a three-judge panel in North Carolina struck down that state's congressional map as an unconstitutional gerrymander. That's the second map in North Carolina that's been struck down this decade. The first map was struck down as a racial gerrymander that discriminated against African Americans. When ordered to redraw the map, they came back and did a political gerrymander. And then just a couple weeks ago, in a 205-page opinion, the panel unanimously ruled that North Carolina's map also was a partisan gerrymander and ordered it redrawn. The Supreme Court has put a hold on that until it decides the Wisconsin and Maryland cases, meaning that nothing will happen for 2018 in all likelihood. But North Carolina could have brand new maps for 2020. And, you know, it's a great example of how replacing a racial gerrymander with a political gerrymander leaves in place really a lot of the harms that the racial gerrymander had. And so it's very much a case to watch.
Another case tied into racial gerrymandering is Texas, Perez versus Abbott. What's going on there?
So Texas and North Carolina this decade have dueled back and forth to have sort of the craziest redistricting fights. The Texas case began back in 2011 as a series of challenges to Texas's very aggressive congressional and state house plans, which Texas was the fastest growing state in the last decade, and 90% of that population gain was African American or Latino. Texas picks up 4 new congressional seats, but it doesn't draw any new opportunities for African American and Latinos, and that led to a huge series of fights. Finally, this year, the plaintiffs won in that case, but there were appeals to the Supreme Court, and the court just agreed in January to hear those cases, which it'll do in April.
There's one more case I want to talk about, and that's in Arizona, where state law requires districts be drawn to increase political competitiveness. And the case at hand was actually brought by Republicans. It has a lot to do with redistricting procedure. What's the claim there?
Well, the claim is that the process ended up being political. Arizona has an independent commission. It consists of 2 Democrats and 2 Republicans and then a 5th member who's supposed to be independent. And the argument was that that actually didn't happen. And so there was a challenge there dealing with sort of the way that the legislature or the commission, rather, put together the maps. And it's sort of a unique thing because the Arizona Constitution itself requires you to try to maximize competitiveness. But the districts that maximized in terms of competitiveness tend to be Republican districts because many of the Democratic districts are protected by the Voting Rights Act and so are safe districts. And that sort of led many Republicans to be a little bit disgruntled.
One place we haven't talked about is California. There's no case there right now, but they have come up with a solution to this issue.
They have. California adopted an independent redistricting commission over the objections of many lawmakers. It was a citizen ballot initiative, but it created a redistricting commission to redraw the legislative and congressional plans. And what you saw in California were it used to be that lawmakers in California did a bipartisan gerrymander where they protected each other and nobody was ever challenged and you had your seat for life, basically. But they created a redistricting commission, and what you ended up with are maps that have much more community-based districts and that are much better at keeping towns and counties and other things together. But what you also saw was that competition nearly tripled and minority representation increased, and you saw a lot more opportunities for younger and more diverse candidates. Mm-hmm. And so by most measures, California has been a huge success.
Does it seem like in a lot of these cases, it's Democrats who are upset about the map more than Republicans?
This decade, it certainly has been the case. And that's largely the product of the fact that redistricting took place in 2011 after the wave election of 2010. Mm-hmm. So Republicans were in control of map drawing in a lot of states. But certainly when Democrats have control of the whole process, and as they have in Maryland and other places, they certainly also go to town and gerrymander. So it is not only a Republican crime. It's a bipartisan crime against voters, as it were. We don't know what that will look like next decade because, the next round of redistricting will take place after 2020, which is a presidential cycle where Democrats tend to do better. And so you could see Democrats in a position to do more gerrymandering after 2020.
So, Michael Lee, do you think that this is going to be a year that really sets the tone for the way that congressional maps are drawn for years to come in the United States?
I know a lot of people are hoping for that, and I'm optimistic that the court actually will start to say that there are some limits, and that's because the problem of gerrymandering has really, although it's been around since the beginning of the country, it's really gotten a lot worse. This decade's maps have been some of the most extreme and the most entrenched of American history, and there's every sign that if the courts don't act, that lawmakers are going to feel that they can do anything, and they're going to have more powerful tools at their disposal to do that, and more money flowing into the redistricting battles. And so if the courts don't step in, then it's going to be a free-for-all and really devastating to American democracy. But there are lots of signs that both in state courts and federal courts that courts are finally willing to step in, and that's a good sign.
That's Michael Lee, who is senior counsel for the Brennan Center's Democracy Program, which focuses on redistricting and other voting issues. We'll be watching what happens at the Supreme Court. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.